your Bible, stand with me, if you would, for the reading of the word. Turn again to 1 Corinthians, the ninth chapter. 1 Corinthians, the ninth chapter, and I'm going to read to you out of the 18th through the 24th verse. It says, "What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, that I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself a servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, and without the law, being not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. And I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race, they run all? Not part, not a portion, not half-heartedly, they run all. But one receiveth the prize. So run your little heart out. So run despite your adversaries. So run despite what you were facing. He said, so run for one reason and one reason only. Run that you may obtain. Lift your Bible toward heaven. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the written word. It is unchangeable. It is irreversible. I thank you that even heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will endure forever. And in your word is truths and keys that empower us to be the very best creation you have made us to be. And Father, I pray that your people come with an open mind, an open heart, and an open ear to connect clearly with your gospel. Anoint us today corporately that we might be empowered to run this race you have put us in, that we never stop till we obtain the prize that you have set before us all. And Father, we thank you for this word. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord today. Last Sunday, I began to lay the foundation for you on New Year's Eve. And I pray you have had a wonderful New Year's, a wonderful beginning to your new year. Obviously, we as a church have had our challenges already in a young new year. But it's not going to change the mandate that God has given me as a man of God, for me personally and for you. And the mandate God is calling us to is that in 2018, we are going to run our race. In fact, we need to understand that when Paul was addressing the Corinthian church here, he was really addressing the Greek culture. He was addressing the Greeks and the culture that they lived in. And Paul uses an analogy that was very familiar to the Greeks. He uses a running analogy. And he's talking to them because this was very much a part of their DNA. It was a part of their culture. It was a part of who they are. And as I look in this room, if I did a survey, I would guess there are several of you that enjoy running. There are several of you that like to do it for physical fitness. It may even be recreational for you, but you understand the benefits of running, the benefits of staying in shape, and the benefits of being healthy, and the benefits of weight loss, and the benefits of living life with longevity. That's what running does for you. And this is how the Greek culture was. They were very fit. They were very athletic. I believe, I didn't research before today, but I believe just by recollection, I believe the whole concept of the Olympic Games and the Olympics, I believe it originated with the Greek culture because this was very much a part of who they are. And here Paul is a brilliant man. He's much more eloquent than I am, much more brilliant than I am. And Paul is addressing a group of people. I don't know how big his audience was, but the group he was addressing, he chose specifically and intentionally to paint a picture in their mind about a runner running a race. And he begins to talk to them that you have to understand that it's not just simply about being in the race that matters. How many understand? A lot of us, we get into things with good intentions, but when we get in it, we say, what did I get myself into? How many can relate to that? We have good intentions. And the Apostle Paul is saying, look, it's not just about getting in the race. He said, but if you're going to get in the race, then run the race until you obtain the prize. Because in the Greek culture, they weren't so sensitive like we are in America today. It's not about being politically correct. Today, how many understand, if you put your child in a sporting event or in some type of athletic basketball, baseball, football, track, how many understand, today everybody's a winner. They have trophy for first place, second place, third place, and even the person in last place gets a trophy too. Because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But how many understand, in the Greek culture, there was no prize for second place. There was no prize for third place. There was no silver and bronze medal. There was only one prize, and that prize was reserved for who? The person that ran the fastest and obtained that prize. That's how the culture is. And this is what the Apostle Paul is saying to the Greeks in the Corinthians specifically. He's saying, look, if you're going to run, you need to run till you obtain. He's saying there is a prize at the end of this race, and only one person is going to take hold of that prize. So you might as well get bad with yourself and just keep running until what? Till you're the one that has that prize. See, and some of you need to get so focused in this year that you need to be so clear with what you're running after. What is it you are chasing? What is your dream? What is your aspiration? What is your goal? That's why last Sunday I had you do what Habakkuk said. I had you write the vision down, make it plain upon tables, that every time you read it, it causes you to run. There are going to be obstacles that you have to overcome. There are going to be setbacks in your life. If somebody promised you life is going to be easy, they lied to you from the get-go. You're going to have to learn to deal with things in life. Sometimes you're going to have broken water line pipes. Sometimes you're going to have to use a porta potty when it's 20 below zero outside. So sometimes you're going to have to go to work with 103 degree fever. Are you hearing me? There are times that you're going to have to just deal with whatever life throws at you. But it doesn't change the vision and the prize that you are running to. And the good thing about it is nobody can tell you what your prize is. You get to determine what it is you're chasing. That's the good thing about life. Now, that word run that Paul, he's using, it comes from the Greek word treko, which means to run. But more than that, it indicates a constant and a continuous pace. And some of you have to understand that now's not the season for crawling or walking. Now is not the season for living your life like a sloth. Are you hearing me? Now is there's an urgency that God is sending to us as the body of Christ that we need to be sensitive to the speed God is looking for. And God is looking for a generation of warriors. He's looking for a generation of entrepreneurs. And he's looking for a generation of educators. He's looking for a generation of ministers, a generation of house builders. Are you hearing me? He's looking for a generation that's willing to get up in spite of the climate we are living in and say, I got to get running to chase what God said I could have. Come. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to pick up the pace. Come on, look at him again and say, you've drugged for too long. It's time to get busy. You know what? I believe this is going to be a year of no more excuses. Oh, I'm going to say it again because I like that. It's going to be a year of no more excuses. You see, anybody that's dedicated to running knows one thing. I'm getting up, and no matter what the weather looks like, I'm running. Because you can talk yourself out of running. You can get them say, it's too cold. You can get them say, it's too hot. You can get them say, it's too cloudy. It's too rainy. Well, what do you want? See, this is going to be a year of no more excuses. If you have not apprehended what you have been believing for in years gone by, it's because you have bought the excuse more than you bought the truth. And somewhere you're going to have to dig down deep. Look at that word obtain. Paul says, run until you obtain. He said, do not stop. You're to run. And he said, you're not to stop running until you obtain. Maybe that's why Forrest Gump kept running all over the country. He didn't stop until, you know, he just kept running. He grew a long beard, you know, in his run. And he said, this is it. When do I stop? He said, don't stop till you obtain. So if you haven't obtained, my question to you is, why have you stopped running? God, he's saying that word obtain, it's a compound word, and I'm not going to give you the Greek compounds, but it means something that is coming downward, or it means to take or to seize something. So there has to be an attitude in you that this year, I'm not going to let this year expire until I have seized what I have been running after. This is the year. This is the year the glass ceiling gets broken. This is the year that the bar gets raised. This is the year that I don't fall short of the glory. This is the year that I don't have any excuses, any regrets. This is the year that I don't look back and say, I wish I would have done that and that. This is the year that I say, I have officially apprehended what I have been chasing after. But your neighbor said, you're going to have to go after it. That word obtain, it pictures someone who has found something he has searched for their entire life. And rather than lose it or let it pass up the opportunity to possess it, they pounce on it with all of their might, latching hold of it and seizing it with joy. That's what that word obtain means. And this is what Paul is doing. He's given two concepts. He's saying, you got to run. And when you run not knowing there's a second, third, fourth prize. You run knowing there's only one prize, and that's the prize for the winner. And you don't stop till you seize the opportunity in your life. That's what Paul is saying. But look what else Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. This is good. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. Now he's speaking to the Galatian church. And listen to what he says to the Galatian church. He said, you did run well. In other words, you were running good. Pat yourself on the back. Say, I was doing good. I mean, January 1st came and you were all on it. And then the devil spoke to you on January 2nd. You were running good. You were eating healthy. And you just had to drive by Fuddruckers. Get you a big old greasy hamburger. You were running well. Can't tell where we ate this week, can you? He said, you did run well. He said, I'll give you that. You were doing good. But then he says, but what happened? ¿Qué pasó? What happened? What's going on? Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? In other words, you were running good, but what got in your way that you stopped running? Who told you you couldn't apprehend? Who told you you couldn't achieve? Who told you you couldn't break the barrier? Who told you you wouldn't prosper? Who told you you weren't going to get your joy back? Who told you you weren't going to get your mind back? Who told you you weren't going to get your zeal back? What got in your way that you just stopped running? That's what Paul's saying. He's saying, what happened? Because the last time I saw you, you had on your Nike shorts, you had on your running shoes, you had on your headband. You look good in your running shoes. You were passing everybody. You were passing the Ephesians. You were passing the Corinthians. You were passing the Colossians. You were passing everybody. And when I get here, I'm shocked to see that you're not doing anything now. That's what Paul said. Who hindered you? In other words, what became a blockage to you that you stop believing the truth. Because if you are not spiritually running, it means you have bought into a lie and you have given up on your dream and your passion. Oh, y'all don't want me to preach this today. You know why? Because many of you have already stopped running. Or there's many of you haven't bought into the concept of running. Many of you are saying, that's just a bunch of silliness. But listen to me. The Apostle Paul said, you are running good. And what he's really telling us is, look, when you begin to run, you cannot let anything get in your way. Some of you have to wake up every day and say, I don't know what today has for me in store, but I'm not going to let anything get in my way. If I have to make an alternate route, I will bulldoze my way through an alternate route. Come on, if I've got to put on some praise and worship music to find my joy, I'm going to put on some praise and worship music. Are you hearing me? If I've got to read a proverb a day to keep the devil away, I'm going to read the proverbs to keep that devil away. So somewhere you got to say, I ain't letting anything get in my way anymore. And some of you can do an inventory of years gone by and see that it is a cycle. It is the same old that keeps getting in your way. Maybe it's laziness. Maybe it's insecurity. Maybe it's too busy worrying about what everybody else thinks or says about you. You got to get over your devil and your hindrance and say, ain't nothing going to stop me from running today. If they don't cheer me, I'll cheer me on. If they don't root for me, I'll root for me. If they don't praise me, I'll praise myself out of this pity party and keep on running. Come on, if you believe it, shout yeah. He said, you were running good. Danielle, you were doing so good. Randy, what happened? That's what he's saying. Patricia, you got a whole new workout wardrobe. What happened? That's what he's saying. You know, my football team lost last Monday, and that's all right. They'll come back. But when that one hurt. But it didn't hurt as much as when the Broncos lost to the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. Oh, yeah, that was a blowout. You know, and then it hurt worse because I had a staff member that was a Seattle fan. Not going there. And Denver got blown away. It was a bad one. But you know what? Denver didn't throw in the towel. You know what Denver did? They learned from their mistakes. Said, we got spanked by a remarkable defense, so we'll just go out and get a remarkable defense ourselves. And you know what Denver did? They rebounded. They came back. And you know what they did? They won Super Bowl 50. And some of you need to understand, just because you've had a setback doesn't mean you're defeated. Learn from your setback and take control of your life. And there's a great event that happens every year in our country. It's called the Boston Marathon. How many of you have heard of it? The Boston Marathon. I believe it's 26 miles, a little over 26 miles. In fact, it's 26 miles, 385 yards to be exact. At least that's what Wikipedia told me. And the Boston Marathon is very interesting. When you study this out, you can look it up for yourself. Study it out. The designers of the Boston Marathon, they did something very unique with it. For the first 16 miles of the Boston Marathon, they designed it that it would be on a downhill trend. So for the first 16 miles, anybody that enters the race, guess what? This is easy. Don't know why I haven't been running marathons my whole life. Because, you know, pretty much anybody can run downhill. Are you following me? So the designer, they were brilliant because they said, we're going to do something that you know, everybody's going to get a shot. They're going to get out of the gate. They're going to look good. They're going to run in a big army. And for 16 miles, they are treading and they are running downhill. But something happens at the 16-mile marker. There is something strategically that happens that confounds undisciplined runners. This is when the race starts off. You know, everybody's looking good. They got their brand new shoes, their brand new outfits, sporting their number, taking their pictures and their selfies and uploading to Instagram and Snapchat and Facebook Live, and they're showing the world, look at me, I'm in the Boston Marathon, and everything's looking good. But all of a sudden, at the 16-mile mark, the whole game changes. Everything changes. It is at the 16-mile mark, it's proven that something begins to happen to the physical body. It is when the muscles really start to melt down and your brain begins to get a little foggy and all of a sudden fatigue begins to settle in. It's at the 16-mile mark that all of a sudden your body begins to be depleted and you begin to go through what they call hypoglycemia. All of a sudden, your sugar reserves are gone. Your energy is gone. All of a sudden, at the 16-mile mark, it's like your muscles are fighting for whatever endorphins are left in the body. But the brain is also fighting for it, too, because the muscles are fatigued and the brain doesn't know what to think. And eventually, the brain takes over and the muscles begin to scream out. This is what runners call hitting the wall. And all of a sudden, the brain keeps saying, got to keep going. And the muscles are saying, I can't go anymore. The brain is saying, we got to keep fighting. But the muscles keep saying, I ain't got no more energy. But what is interesting, that while all of that is happening, isn't it like life, that when you are at the weakest or the lowest in your life, you have to face the biggest challenge of your life? You know, the plumber even said this outdoors. He was out there working, and the day he was working, it was 15 below zero wind chill. And he said, it's interesting, pipes never break when the weather's warm. I said, true, genius. I said, that's why they call them frozen pipes. It's never when things are going good that we face our biggest challenges. It's always when we're the weakest. It's always when we're the worst. We're always when we're worn out. It's always when we've given our best. It's always when we think we've gotten past the hardest part. And the makers or the creators of the Boston Marathon, they did something that was so creative in that race. It's at the 16-mile mark, at the most crucial part of a runner's body, they do something. They change the downhill grade. Guess what? It becomes an uphill climb. It is at the 16-mile mark that the Boston Marathon is considered to be one of the most difficult marathon courses because of the Newtown Hills, which culminate, are you ready, in Heartbreak Hill near Boston College. It is called Heartbreak Hill for a reason, because that is the hill that weeds out all of the weekend runners. It weeds out all of the social runners. It weeds out the guy that wants to show off to his girlfriend. It says, look at me, I'm going to run in the Boston Marathon. And what does it do? It weeds out all of the unprepared competition that the runners that have really been preparing to run, that what? They can kick it uphill and begin to apprehend the prize they are chasing. It is at Heartbreak Hill that runners instantly go from a run to a walk. It is at Heartbreak Hill that runners all of a sudden start saying, what did I get myself into? And they quit what they got involved in. It is where the muscles cramp up. It is where the brain doesn't know which way to go. It is at Heartbreak Hill that all of a sudden the game begins to change. And some of you have to understand this. Everybody, I said everybody, did you hear me? Everybody has to face your Heartbreak Hill in life. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me. Everybody's going to have to get past your Heartbreak Hill, because if you're not willing, you're not going to take hold of the prize that is in front of you. Now, Heartbreak Hill, it's broken a lot of hearts, and a lot of runners have had good intentions. But you need to understand something. You know you're right where you're supposed to be when all hell is fighting you and everything is coming against you and you feel like you're the weakest and you feel like you're the loneliest and you feel like you don't have a gallery cheering you on anymore. You better understand something. That's why it's important to know how to mount up on the power of the Holy Ghost. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the living God. When you understand something, when I am weak, he is made strong in my life. When I don't have it, he's got everything I will ever need. It's some of you about to get past your heartbreak hill in 2018 and begin to take hold of everything God said you could have. Oh, if you believe it, you better help me praise him in here. See, the strategy of Heartbreak Hill by the marathon designers was to weed out all the weak competition. The people that hadn't been training. The people that hadn't been getting themselves ready. And it is interesting, when the race starts out, that when they fire the starting gun, everybody's cheering. Yeah. Everybody's rooting you on, your family and your loved ones and your friends and your fellow competitors, fans. Everybody's rooting you on. But it's after you've gone 16 miles and you've depleted every reserve you have in your physical body, there's no gallery there to cheer you on. Let me say, those are the moments when you were at Heartbreak Hill. You have to learn to do like David did. You have to turn to the Lord and encourage yourself in the Lord your God. It is at Heartbreak Hill that you have to learn to fight your way through some things in life. And everybody has a Heartbreak Hill. Everybody has a Heartbreak Hill. And this is what Paul was saying to the Corinthians. You were running good. He said, you were running well. What got in your way that you stopped obeying the truth? Who hindered you? What got in your way? What happened in the middle of your journey that you just stopped running? What was it? What was your heartbreak that caused you to stop running? Every one of you got to deal with this in your life. See, 2018 won't be all that you desire it to be until you deal with your heartbreak hill. Heartbreak. Everybody deals with heartbreak. Everybody deals with heartbreak. Maybe that child broke your heart. Maybe that spouse broke your heart. Maybe that ministry broke your heart. Maybe that business broke your heart. Everybody deals with a heartbreak in their life. But listen to me, if you're willing to dig down deep, let God heal you at your heartbreak hill, you will rejoice when you receive the prize. You'll never get there. You'll never get there. The designers of the Boston Marathon said, you are not going to be the winner until you overcome Heartbreak Hill. And it is Heartbreak Hill. It is uphill all the way. You'd think they would have reversed it and said, let them run uphill first and downhill last. Nuh-uh. I mean, life doesn't work that way. Pastor Bagwell tells me this about ministry all the time. He said, Raymond, if it was easy, everybody'd be doing it. Are you hearing me? It's not easy. Not easy being cheesy. No, it's not easy. Chester Cheetah, that's what that is. It's not easy. It's not easy. What are you chasing? If it's easy, you haven't set the bar high enough. I almost say it over here. If it's easy, you haven't set the bar high enough. If it's easy, you took your heartbreak hill out of the equation. But every one of you, you're going to have to let God heal you at your heartbreak hill. What is it that always spirals you into depression? What is it that always causes discouragement to be upon you? What is it that says, I'm just going to lay around in my PJs today all day long and do nothing? What is it? It tells you, it's never happened before. Why would it happen this year? You got to change your mentality. You got to change your stinking thinking. You got to change. So some of you need to get an attitude adjustment. And believe me, I've seen the worst marriages healed and become the best marriages ever seen by mankind. Are you hearing me? I've seen some of the worst children that have grown up in church and acted like devils on the front row. I've seen them wreak havoc on their parents. But you know what? I've seen them fill up arenas preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me? I've seen people think that they were going to file bankruptcy and lose everything they have, and then God turned the tide on their misfortune, and all of a sudden they began to build international worldwide ministries. And the real thing is if it doesn't mean anything to you, why should it mean anything to God to help push you there? Oh, come on. If you believe it, you better help me praise Him. Sometimes you got to knock on one more door. And you say, I've knocked on 1,000. Well, you haven't knocked on 1,001. Sometimes you got to make one more phone call. And you say, well, I've made 1,000,000 phone calls. Well, you haven't made 1,000,001 phone calls. Are you hearing me? Sometimes you just got to keep on going. And some of you need to understand, eventually, if you keep going, you will supersede your heartbreak hill. I learned something in researching this Boston Marathon thing. That do you realize the Ethiopians have the best record at the Boston Marathon? Ethiopia has produced the most champions in the Boston Marathon. And they were interviewing one of the Ethiopian champions. And you know what he said? They asked him, why are you guys so good? Why do you do well with the Boston Marathon? They said, don't you know that the designers designed it to end on an uphill trend? And he laughed at him. He said, yeah, we do good because we always run uphill. He said, you Americans, you want to run downhill because it's easy. But the Ethiopians say, you know what? We always run uphill. So your heartbreak hill ain't nothing to us because we're always running uphill. And some of you, that's where you learn that when life gives you lemons, you learn to make lemonade anyway. Oh, are you hearing me? See, stop using what the enemy has thrown against you as an excuse not to get up and achieve, but start using what the enemy has put against you for your advantage that you can achieve everything God said you could have. And when you begin to wake up, and here's what I really want to say to you. When you wake up and stop feeling sorry for yourself, you'll start seeing clearly what's in front of you. Oh, come on. That deserves a praise right there. Heartbreak Hill. Heartbreak Hill. Think about Naomi and Ruth and Orpah. Some call her Oprah. Think about them. My worship team can come out because I want to pray with some people here in a minute. Think about them. If anybody had a heartbreak hill, they had a heartbreak hill. And have you understand, we're going to suffer loss of loved ones. That's a heartbreak. We're going to suffer. Marriages are going to suffer. That's a heartbreak. But for Naomi and Ruth and for Orpah, they each suffered a loss in their families. And it was at that moment they had to decide, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do from here? They told Ruth, go. There's a man named Boaz. Go to Boaz's field. He'll be your kinsman redeemer. And you know what? She did it. In the midst of heartbreak in her life, she did what? She kept running anyway. When she could have been justified and laid down and licked her wounds and said, woe is me, I can't believe this has happened to me. She could have licked her wounds and laid down, but what did she do? She went anyway. She wasn't perfect by any means. She didn't come out of some great genealogy. She wasn't born with a silver spoon in her mouth. She wasn't handed life on a silver platter. She experienced heartbreak, but she went anyway. And it was at Boaz's field. What did she do? She found her kinsman redeemer. And what happened there? Boaz and Ruth came together out of heartbreak. They did something great because when you study the genealogy of Jesus Christ, how many know he came out of the lineage of Ruth? Oh, y'all ain't believing this today. See, only God can take your heartbreak and cause something great to come out of it. Only God knows how to take the crushing. See, that's how the anointing is produced. I mean, you know, the anointing, the oils of anointing, it comes from the crushing. It is at the crushing. When you crush the fruit and you crush, it is a crushing and a pounding. It's like the threshing floor. There's a breaking and there is a separating of the wheat and the chaff at the threshing floor. And some of you need to understand, you're going through a breaking because that is where champions are birthed. birth. That's where dreams are apprehended. That's where preachers are born. That's where ministries come up out of the ash heap. It is those that are willing to say, I have my heartbreak healed, but it ain't going to break me in life. I have my heartbreak healed, but it ain't going to stop me from running. I have my heartbreak healed, but I'm not a weekend warrior. See, some of you need to stop being a weekend warrior, a Sunday only praiser. Some of you got to say, I'm in it to win it. I'm in it to apprehend. I'm in it to obtain. And I ain't going to let a little heartbreak stop me from running my race. That's where the tide changes. It's at Heartbreak Hill where runners either keep on running or they stop and just start walking. How many of you willing to get past your heartbreak? Oh, come on. How many of you ready to get past your heartbreak? I promise you, if you'll keep going, you will obtain that prize that God has set before you. You're going to have challenges. I'm telling you, you're going to have challenges. If you want a life with no challenges, then you are living a fairy tale. It ain't going to happen. My wife and I have not been pastoring for as long as we have because we have lived a ministry with no headaches. But you know what? The average tenure of a pastor is only 2.5 years. And you know how long we've been pastoring? We've been pastoring almost 12 years now. Oh, come on, somebody. And have we had heartbreak? Oh, we've had heartbreak. Have we had our heartbreak heal? Oh, we've had many heartbreak heals. We've run the Boston Marathon spiritually many times. But you know what? Great things happen when you say, you know what? I'm tired anyway. I've exhausted everything I have anyway. Why stop right here? Why not go all the way with God anyway? Why not go all the way? It's like the two guys that were swimming across the lake. They were swimming across the lake because the side they were on had no food, had no water. So they started swimming across the lake because they heard on the other side was an abundance of food and water. And when they got halfway across the lake, one of the guys says, I'm too tired. I'm going to turn around and go back. Oh, you'll get it later. Did you hear me? They were halfway across the lake. Halfway across the lake. Did you hear me? They were halfway. He said, I'm too tired of going to go back. You know what? The other guy swam the same distance and went on to the other side and took hold of the abundance. See, and some of you, this is the year that you stop turning around and going back. This is the year that you say, I'm going to keep on navigating through the troubled waters. I'm going to keep navigating over every hurdle, every obstacle, and I'm going to enter in and take hold of the abundance that's on the other side. Oh, come on, I need some praisers in here right now. Come on, stand with me in this room. See, look at your neighbor and say, your heartbreak hill can be overcome. Come on, look at somebody else and tell them, your heartbreak hill can be overcome. Everybody's going to face it, but it doesn't have to break you. It doesn't have to break you. See, your heartbreak hill is when you are spiritually drained. And you are spiritually fatigued. But you know what I do when my faith is drained? You know what I do? I turn to the Word, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. When I can't feel God, you know what I do? I just start praising Him, because He inhabits the praises of His people. Are you hearing me? When I'm feeling discouraged, I encourage myself in the Lord my God. Are you hearing me? He's given you every means that you need to come out of your heartbreak hill and make it anyway. And I'm going to teach you something next week. You're not running this race by yourself. How many glad we have a forerunner in Jesus Christ who's paving the way for each and every one of us? And right now, just lift your hands toward heaven in this room. Right now, just lift your hands. Come on, just start worshiping God right where you're at. Just start filling this atmosphere with the sound of worship. Come on. You don't need a worship team. They'll get up here. Just start worshiping right where you're at. Come on. Just start glorifying God right now. Just start praising his holy name right where you're at. Come on. Just begin to call on the Lord who hears. Just begin to call on the name of the Lord. Begin to magnify his name together. Let us exalt him right now. We glorify you, Almighty God. We bless your holy name, O King of Kings. We exalt you. We exalt you for who you are. God, I thank you that there is an abundance of everything we will ever need in our lives. Lord, let us tap into the mind of David as a warrior and as a worshiper when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Lord, I declare an infusion of faith. I declare an infusion of hope, an infusion of joy. I declare Holy Ghost stamina in your sons and daughters today. Lord, I declare we're going to run. We're going to run all the way through 2018 till we've conquered our heartbreak hills. And right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed and the sound of my voice, I can't get away from this. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Just put your hands over your heart right now. Just kind of cradle your heart where you're at. I believe there's something God's wanting to do in this room right now. There's something God's wanting to do in this room. Because there are many of you, you've been stuck at Heartbreak Hill. There are many of you, Heartbreak Hill has broken you. And you've been stuck there for a year, 2 years, 3 years, for a decade. You've been stuck there. You've been stuck at your Heartbreak Hill. And it angers you and it infuriates you and it brings tears of sadness to you every time you think about your Heartbreak Hill. Heartbreak Hill's disqualified you. It's eliminated you from the race that you believed you were in at one time. But I believe your pain stops right here and right now. I believe your pain will be erased. The pain will subside in this atmosphere. The presence of our God. But I believe God's going to heal you of your heartbreak. That you can run again. You can dream again. You can live again. You can sing again. You can dance again. I believe God's putting a passion in you for life again. Some of you about to pick up that ministry again. You about to pick up that instrument again. You about to sing again. You about to pick up that business plan again. You about to pick up those inventions again. You about to pick it up again and believe God again.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. We want to encourage you and invite you to join us live at one of our upcoming worship experiences. We meet every Sunday at 10 a.m. and every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Until next time, go with God and he will go with you.